could sit all day and listen to the music of Creedence Clearwater. I love their music so much. I have every one of the albums they ever put out, every one of their CDs, pretty much everything they've ever done. And they have sold 120 million units and have not performed together as Creedence Clearwater Revival since 1972. But in 1995, when Creedence Clearwater Revival's rhythm section, bassist Stu Cook and drummer Doug Cosmo Clifford formed Creedence Clearwater Revisited, fans around the world now can have a Creedence Clearwater concert, and it is just like the old days. It's incredible. In fact, it's coming soon to our area Thursday night. It'll be at the Foxwoods Casino, and then on this weekend at Atlantic City in New Jersey. So all you listening at PNPNetwork.com, get down there and make your plans right away. If you're listening at WMSX in Boston, hey, get down and call up and get down there. This is going to be a great show, both of these shows. They'll be all over the place. They're going to be in North Carolina on the 19th and 21st with the Beach Boys, in Washington, D.C. in August 22nd with the Beach Boys as well, and September 30th with the Doobie Brothers at the L.A. Amphitheater, the Universal Amphitheater. So they've got some great stuff coming up. And with us right now is the man, Stu Cook and Cosmo Clifford join us right now on the entertainment line. Hi, guys.
Mark, how are you?
This is so cool to hear this music because, you know, you guys have done what I thought you couldn't do. You've replaced the lead singer with someone who sounds pretty good. Wow.
A lot of folks thought that, but I think we've made believers out of everyone who's heard the man sing.
Wow. He's good. Where'd you find him?
Actually, a friend recommended him, Mark.
Really?
Yeah.
Who was that man singing?
John Tristeo.
And he was, where was he? Was he with somebody else, or?
He was with a band called People in 1968. They had one hit, a hit called I Love You.
I love you.
That's it.
But it's words, and I don't know what to say. I can tell you. I guess I'm an encyclopedia of music here, you know? How many people would know that song? So it was on Capitol Records, though, so it was kind of a mainstream hit. You also picked up the former guitarist from the Cars, Elliot Easton, as well, right?
Yeah, bro.
And Steve Gunner rounds out the group.
He plays acoustic guitar, percussion, harmonica, does a little singing with us.
Wow. Yeah, how does it feel compared to the old days, you know, when you were touring in the early 70s? How does it feel now?
Well, it's a lot more fun now, I think. Second time around, you appreciate things a little more. You're a little more mature. I'm the guy that's never going to grow up, but smelling the roses is great. And with a band like this one that allows us to jam and stretch these tunes like we never could do in the past, it's great.
Yeah. You know, I always found one thing really interesting about Creedence Clearwater Revival, and that was they were one of the first bands, aside from the early Beatles, who all the songs, when you guys released a single, both sides were hits.
Correct.
Didn't that cost you guys money in terms of, instead of putting in junk on the side B, they could have then put another record out? Why did they do that? Fantasy did that when you guys...
It cost money, but it cost us time. We put three singles out in 1969 and probably could have put out one and a half the way the singles were coming out.
Yeah, I mean, it was. They were doing so well, too. Both sides were always hits.
Yeah, that was just radio turning them over. I don't think the record company had a clue.
Because most record companies would put a lousy song on side B. Yeah, I remember the Beatles had a song called I Know Your Name or Look Up My Number or something, You Know My Name. It was a terrible song, and they knew that it would never be a hit on side two later on in their career. But Fantasy Records didn't really consider that.
Well, Stu was alluding to the label just a moment ago. They were a jazz label. We were the only rock and roll band they had. They didn't know from rock and roll and whatever. And they it didn't bother them. They were just putting out songs. Half the time, they didn't know what the A-side was. They really relied on radio to do that for them, and radio certainly answered that call.
Hmm. Now, you guys were paired with a couple of brothers, Tom and John Fogerty. Initially, it worked out pretty well. What happened later on as the group progressed and enjoyed all that success?
Well, as the group grew in popularity and success, the record company wasn't coming forward with some of the promises that they had made, and I think it just helped push John Fogerty over the edge. He just became a control freak and basically took the band away from the rest of us.
I mean, did he also do the same to his brother?
Oh, absolutely. Tom used to be the lead singer, the manager, and as a matter of fact, he was the one who had the vision of a recording career when we were just 13 years of age. The rest of us, Tom was 4 years our senior. He's the one that got us into the studio, got us recording at an early age, and kept the course until we had success.
Wow. So you guys knew each other for many, many years then?
Oh, over 41 years.
Wow. And success really does that kind of stuff to people, huh?
Well, we overcame everything but success. All the obstacles, we managed to, I mean, on a small jazz label out coming out of the Bay Area, and there's so many things, you know, and no management, and that's ultimately, I think, what brought us down. But everything but success was dealt with quite handily.
Mm. Now, Tom, unfortunately, has passed away. Were you folks at his funeral?
Oh, yeah. I was there, and I spent a lot of time with him in his last days, doing the hospital duty, actually. We miss him.
Did you see John while you were there?
John only came by once, and it wasn't for a real long period of time. They had their little chat, and I really don't want to get into that one too much.
But did he talk to you at all while he was there?
Not much.
No. I think it's kind of sad that after all these years they can't bury the hatchet, but I don't think that's ever going to get buried at this point, is it?
It's like a lifelong grudge for the man to me.
I don't know, but it's good, at least for us as music listeners and people who loved Creedence, at least Creedence has gone on, which is good, you know?
The fans have kept it alive, and Doug and I just responded to, what the fans have asked us every year. Are you guys ever going to get together somehow and play your music again? In 95, we decided we should try and see if that was possible, and until we found the fellows that we have in the band now, we didn't really think ourselves that there was a very high odds, but once we got this group of people together and the chemistry was just amazing, we thought we'd try and take it out and see if anybody else liked it. And from day one, the response has been really overwhelmingly positive, favorable.
Mm. Well, I mean, in 95, obviously, you didn't have it. You know, it was a hit and miss proposition, and evidently you had a few misses before you hit on this formula.
How do you mean?
In terms of the group. Is it the same people that are in there right now that were in there in 95?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We haven't changed a band member at all since we put the band together in March of 95.
Is this really your biggest tour, though, this one this year?
Well, every year's had big tours. We've been to Europe twice. We expect to go back again this year. We've been to South America twice. We expect to go back again in March. Asia once. We've been to tour the States and Canada for 4 years now.
Wow.
It's hard to say what our biggest year has been. It seems like it just keeps getting bigger and bigger.
This new CD that we have here, the Creedence Clearwater Revisited 2-CD set, is a wonderful CD.
Thank you.
Is it available on the tour? And is it in stores right now?
It's in the major chain stores. We sell it at our concert as well, and people have really been enjoying it. And Stu always says, one could pick one up and enjoy it in your own space. People have been really digging it.
It's a great CD. And you know, it's wonderful to hear the music, and it still sounds fresh, which is great.
Yeah, we tried to, our approach has been that we want to be faithful to the music, to the original CDs, but we want to put some of that 90s production and energy into it.
Mm.
A lot of our audience now is young. When I say that, I mean 25 and under. And so that means these fans weren't even born when we recorded these songs.
Some of them are children of your original fans.
Yeah, and some of them heard the music from their brothers and sisters or their folks or from classic rock radio or movies that Creedence has had soundtracks in. It's amazing. Up to 30-40% of our audiences are these young folks that are so into the music. It's hard to believe that they weren't there from the beginning.
When you formed Creedence Clearwater Revisited, and I mentioned that great CD Recollection, it's distributed by Fuel Records from Universal MCA. It's available right now. Did you ever hear anything from John about the use of the name or anything like that? I know you changed it, but was there any legal hassles in the beginning?
Oh, yeah. He sued us right off the bat. That's why we had to change the name temporarily. There was an injunction against us, but the appellate court overwhelmingly threw that out, went right back to the original name. Now, if we were really trying to fool the public, as John alludes, we would be calling it Creedence Clearwater Revival, which we have the right to call it. The trademark is Creedence Clearwater Revival. We chose not to do it because it wasn't the three living members of Creedence being up front, but that wasn't good enough for him, and the legal woes continue.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing to me. Yeah, you get people who are legitimately using names like yourselves. And I've had on here, you know, people like Herb Reed and some of the guys that are out there on the Platters and the Drifters, where there's people who have no relation whatsoever to the group out there touring. And they're the ones that are, you know, this. You guys are half of the original Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Correct.
No matter how they cut that, that's the way it is.
Yeah.
And two-thirds of the remaining survivors. So the way I look at it, you have a clear-cut, you know, reason to go out there. And, of course, listening to the music, that pretty much tells you right there that this is legitimate music. We have to take a quick break. Could you guys hang on for a minute? Because I want to talk to you a little bit about the Beach Boys and the Doobies that you're touring with and some of the other things we want to talk about before we let you go. We're talking with Stu Cook, and we're also talking with Cosmo Clifford. And we'll be back with more of Creedence Clearwater right after this.
Office Solutions, we're telling businesses how much time they can save with digital technology. Hello, John.
Speaking.
Now, John, I hear that you spend a lot of time waiting to make copies.
Unfortunate, but true.
John, that's an interesting career path. What, did you take courses for this in college, like standing around 101?
That's funny.
You know, John, if waiting for the copier ever loses its glamour, you could always get a digital copier from Icon Office Solutions.
Digital? That sounds impressive.
Oh, it is, John. Digital copiers can be connected to your network, so you can crank out multiple originals, collate, staple, and fax right from your desk. These babies can even scan.
You mean I'll never have to stand around the copier again? That's great.
That's right. Just think how much more you can accomplish in a day.
The mind reels.
Let the leader in digital technology show you how Canon digital copiers and printers can help you compete better. Call 1-888-ICON-888. Work to win with Icon and Canon.
Stay tuned for more celebrity interviews coming up on That's Life with Mark Snyder.
If you love music, TV, and the movies, you'll love PMPNetwork.com. That's right, PMPNetwork.com, the Internet's entertainment superstation, has downloadable interviews with your favorite celebrities, great photos to download, and reviews of movies, plays, music, and all the TV gossip you need. It's all in one place, PMPNetwork.com. Check it out on the Internet next time you're surfing the superhighway.
It's been a great 10 years, and we're looking forward to the next 10, here at 1410 AM WMSX. Thank you.
you, baby, I love you, Susan Q.
And welcome back, everybody. That, of course, was not John Fogey. That was me singing just now. Welcome back to the show. We have with us right now on the entertainment line, Stu Cook and Cosmo Clippard of Creedence Clearwater Revisited. They will be this Thursday night at Foxwoods Casino. It's a wonderful room. Have you guys played there yet?
First time for us.
It's a wonderful room. You guys will love it. It's a huge auditorium, really good acoustics. I saw in one weekend there Billy Ray Cyrus and Donna Summer, and the place was just rocking.
Great.
It was great. And then, of course, right after that this weekend, you'll be in Atlantic City at the Hilton.
That's right. Correct.
Have you been there yet? You guys been at the Hilton or Atlantic City yet?
Well, we played at the Trump Marina once.
Yeah.
Never been downtown.
Either of you folks gamblers?
No.
We both live in Nevada.
Nevada. That's the reason why we don't pay state income tax.
Now, I got to tell you, gambling's not my thing. When I went to see those shows at Foxwoods, I dropped 25. And I only mean 25 cents. I put a quarter in the machine. I tell people, I lost 25. They're like, 25 grand? 2,500? No, 25 cents.
Yeah, that's pretty reasonable. You know, the only people that really win are the owners of the joints.
That's right. And all the stockholders. That's about it. Now, guys, you guys will be touring with the Beach Boys and the Doobie Brothers at different parts of this tour. How did you guys get together?
Well, with the Beach Boys, we've known the Beach Boys since the very beginning. One of Creedence's first East Coast shows was at the Fillmore East with the Beach Boys. And the Doobies are just sort of old Bay Area friends.
Hmm.
We did some shows with them last year that was quite successful, so we're going to do some of the larger markets again with them this year.
Now, when you guys play with those two, who opens?
We usually open for the Beach Boys, and we've been closing for the Doobies, but they may want to try closing. They might want to try following us.
Hmm. Is it really kind of, when you're touring, for instance, if you're doing the Walnut Creek Amphitheater in Raleigh, North Carolina, August 19th with the Beach Boys, do you guys split the take on that, or is there a different percentage for each of your groups?
We take it all. The Beach Boys get about $5.
I think that's more than fair. I mean, no, is there any kind of formula, or is it something you just don't want to discuss at this point?
Yeah, we really don't like to discuss finances.
Okay.
We're really more musical guys. We have agents and managers that learn way too much to sort that stuff out. Yeah, they have the formula.
Hmm. Now, you guys, didn't both of you guys, or at least one of you, play with Doug Somm?
I did. This is Cosmo here.
Yeah.
I've done three records with Doug, two of which I've produced, and about every 10 years I do a record with Doug, so... I did one in 94, I guess, in 04, I'll do another one.
I loved Doug Somm. He was with, of course, Sir Douglas Quintet that did the Mendocino and great stuff. Oh, great stuff, too. I like that a lot. And, of course, Cosmo, you lent your name to a character on Seinfeld.
Well, that's still being discussed. I hope I can run into Cosmo Kramer and let him know that I had it before him, but also let him know that Cosmo Topper had it before me. So that's going back to early television.
Now, where did you...
It was the Rocky Horror Show Cosmo, right?
Is that where you got your name from?
Oh, I got it from my college days, actually.
And you were, I assume, a space cadet at the time?
No, I wasn't. I was a biologist at the time. I was just always into... nature. Every time a bug would come into the house, I would take it out, and when guys were wanting to squash it, and I'd explain what it was, why it was there on Earth, and what its function was, and explain food chains and things of that nature. I was an amateur entomologist as a kid. So.
I didn't expect that answer. Right now. I thought
it worked pretty good, though, didn't it? It sounded good. Looks great on paper, but not quite.
Do you guys each have a favorite song that you play from Creedence?
Well. It used to be Born on the Bayou, and that's still one of my favorites. That's my favorite revival song. But nowadays, Run Through the Jungle has become my favorite.
Really?
Yeah, we stretch it out, and it's dedicated to the pets, both men and women. It's turned into a subtle theatrical little piece, and everybody can just take it and has his way with it.
I always liked Who'll Stop the Rain.
That's a good one.
You guys had a couple of rain songs. Wasn't there another one, too?
Have you ever seen?
Yeah, have you ever seen the rain? Yeah. I always like the rain songs.
The rain songs, the Beach Boys have the sun songs.
Yeah, rain songs are good. And the Cascades actually had two rain songs, too. Maybe the Rain Will Fall. and another one with Rain in it. That was their two big hits.
Yeah.
As I said, I'm an encyclopedia of worthless information.
Someday, you know, all that little minutia will be worth millions.
Yeah, when I'm dead. they'll unload my brain and download it somewhere else. Guys,
very grateful to you.
Have a good Thursday night at the Foxwoods Casino and a wonderful weekend in Atlantic City. Don't lose too much money. And everybody get on there, get on and see Creedence Clearwater Revisited. And if you can't make it, go buy their CD. It's in the stores. It's called Recollection. It's wonderful. Thanks so much for coming on, guys.
Thank you, Mark.
Take care.
Bye.
When we come back, we'll have with us Conrad Bain from the Different Strokes show and also Maud. It's time for a commercial break, and this part of the show is brought to you by Body Sense. I'll tell you about them as soon as we listen to this Creedence Clearwater song. And welcome back to the break. This portion of the show is brought to you by Body Sense, the unisex day spa in Stoughton Center, where a healthy mind and body only make sense. You can beat the heat because they have hot new bulbs on their tanning booths. And I go there on an infrequent basis to try to get a little bit of color. And right now they get a special that you can't believe. Now usually, if you go into the VHR booths, those are the very high resolution booths, instead of taking like a half an hour to get a little tan, you get 10 minutes, you get a tan. Well, they have beds and booths that are VHR there, and they're usually about $10 a visit. Right now, you can get 10 visits for $40. That's cheaper than most people's regular booths. Now, you have to mention WMSX to get this price. All right? Be tan. Get that 10 visits for $40. Also, they have a special right now, a full set of nail tips or sculptured nails, including a free paraffin treatment for $5 off if you mention WMSX. Also available right now, body bronzing. Get a deep, natural-looking tan without the sun and no tan lines. I think they paint it on. I don't know how they're asking about that. They also have tanning, European facials, aromatherapy, body wraps, spa packages, manicures, pedicures, sculptured nails, waxing. Not something I want to get through myself, but, you know, hey, they have bikini waxes for only $15 right now. A day of beauty, bridal services, makeup application. If you want to know how to put your makeup on, ladies, get on there, check it out. They're open from Monday through Saturday, 10 to 8, Sundays, noon to 5. Body Sense is at 759 Washington Street in Stoughton Center. call 781-341-9393 for an appointment. That's 781-341-9393.
The American Film Institute has just come out with its top 50 greatest screen legends, actors and actresses. I'm Jeffrey Lyons. I was one of the voters polled, so today we continue our salute to these great stars. And today, things you never knew about number 10, Charlie Chaplin, after this.
I wouldn't trade being a mom for anything, but having kids can do a number on your body, especially your breasts. Perfectly natural breast augmentation gave me back my figure. I'm a mom and a wife. I want to be my best at both. To speak with a plastic surgery specialist near you, call 1-877-7-NEW-YOU. You'll receive information about breast augmentation and monthly payment options. Perfectly natural breast augmentation, it's about looking your best. Call toll-free 1-877-7-NEW-YOU today.
It's a need we're born with. A human need to go beyond ourselves. With it, we're part of everything. Without it, we're all alone. It is contact. It defines who we are and who we will be. Our families surround us with it. Our friendships spring from it. It's weird. You know, it's not just about how far technology can take us. It's about how close it has to keep us. Isn't that the point of contact?
I'm Jeffrey Lyons and the Lyons Den, saluting today number 10 on the all-time list of favorite actors of the century, just released by the American Film Institute. I was one of the voters, and today it's Charlie Chaplin's turn to be back in the limelight, pun intended. One night he was in a tiny nightclub and was one of only six patrons enjoying the work of a young stand-up comic. Later he told the newcomer, "Your comedy speaks for the stifled voices of the masses. It's the proper interpretation of humor which..." Well, suddenly the young man interrupted, saying, "Thanks, Mr. Chaplin. I just hope you keep laughing at my routines and remember my name, Phil Silver," later, of course, to win fame as Sergeant Bilko. George Bernard Shaw once heard another young comic was eager to meet him. "Who's he?" scoffed Shaw. "The only funny person I know is Charlie Chaplin." That unknown was named Danny Kaye. One day, Chaplin returned to his slum neighborhood where he was born in East London and watched his old home being torn down. A stranger was standing next to him, watching his nearby house bite the dust as well, a young actor named Michael Caine. Charlie Chaplin, The Little Tramp, number 10 on the AFI's all-time list. In the Lion's Den, I'm Jeffrey Lyons.
Hey, are you hungry? If you are, listen very carefully, especially if you're in the mood for Chinese food. Are you in the mood for Chinese food cooked in vegetable oil, like canola oil, low fat? I know, you don't like MSG. How about some Chinese food that has no MSG? And how about if you can actually watch the chefs cook your food, knowing that it's going to be a nice clean kitchen? Well, you have some choices to make. You can choose, let me see, Chinatown in Stoughton or Chinatown in Brockton. Both places have great luncheon specials and evening specials that you can actually get all day long. That's right. They're not just evening specials. They're all day long specials. And they start at only $5.95. If you want great Chinese food, a nice, enjoyable place to eat, and good prices, well, Chinatown's the place to go. Chinatown in Stoughton at Cobb's Corner and Chinatown in Brockton behind Frank's with a brand new dining room. It's all at Chinatown. If you love Chinese food, you will love Chinatown. For to-go orders, all you have to do is call Brockton 508-580-2885. That's 580-2885 for the best Chinese food to take home.
Get your drinking water from. At Old Mill Palm Springs, we take pride in what we provide. Clean, natural spring water. We own our own source, and in a recent survey conducted by the Massachusetts Department of Public Health, Old Mill Palm spring water tested lowest in sodium, highest in fluoride, and was certified odor-free. Our water has a perfect mineral balance and a refreshing taste that proves that all water is not the same. Call today and ask about Old Mill Pond spring water service in your home or a free one-week trial of our coffee service for your business. There's no obligation. Old Mill Pond spring water from the Virgin Forest, bottled at the source in Raynham, Massachusetts. Call 1-800-823-9004 today and taste the difference.
You're listening to New England's only daily entertainment talk show, That's Life with Mark Snyder on 1410 WMSX.
The biggest variety of talk on the radio. 1410 WMSX Brockton, the talk of Metro South.
She could dive or was a freedom rider. She didn't care if the whole world did. Joan of Arc with the Lord to guide her. She was a sister who really could. His Azora was the first bar burner, and you're glad she showed up.
Oh, yeah.
And when the country was falling apart, Betsy Ross got it all sold up.
And welcome back to That's Live with Mark Snyder at PNPnetwork.com and also on WMSX. And we have with us right now a guy who needs no introduction. Well, I guess everybody needs an introduction, right? I'll give him one anyway. He, of course. We've been talking about him now for a couple of days. Yesterday we had on Adrian Barbeau. Today, Conrad Bain. It's Mod Week on the TV Land from 8 to 10, from 8 to midnight all week. And of course, Conrad Bain is not just known for Maud. He's also known for many other things, including Different Strokes, where he played Philip Drummond. But let's talk first about your experience as the neighbor on Maud. How are you? Hi, Conrad.
Good, thanks. Nice to talk to you, Mark.
Nice to talk to you as well. We've seen you on TV so many times, now you're kind of like the perennial dad on the TV.
Well, you play a dad for 8 years, and it kind of sticks.
I guess it does, yeah. Now, you were also in Mr. President as well on Fox, right?
Yeah, with George T. Scott.
Yeah, I remember that show.
Yeah.
It didn't do well, but it probably should have.
Yeah, I think so. The ingredients were... But, you know, Fox was just getting into that field then.
And, yeah.
Maybe it was too strong a start. I don't know.
It's interesting.
Was it anyway?
You're actually a Canadian, aren't you?
I was, but
yeah.
I got over it. Yeah, I was born and raised in Canada.
Yeah, I was gonna give
American for quite a while.
Gonna give you a little "Oh Canada" to make you feel at home, but I decided I wouldn't do that.
Well, you did.
I guess I changed my mind. I reserved that right. That was a fun show, Maud, and we were talking yesterday with Adrian Barbeau. What a great cast that was! And of course, your wife was played by Rue McClanahan, and. Tell us a little bit about those days and about also the fact that here it is, it's back on TV again with a whole new generation of kids watching it and parents and everybody else.
We were talking about that. We were watching somebody yesterday. I had some time to see it. And somebody said that was in the room, and it may be true, you know, you couldn't get away with that show today. I'm not sure whether that's true or not.
Why not?
Well, because there's so many opinion groups who exercise their rights in a way that wasn't going on so much then. I mean, there were people that were offended or upset or disagreed with some of the things that we did on Maud. There was no question about that. And I ran into that when I went on those publicity tours.
Yeah.
But nothing came, there was no consequence to it. Whereas I have the feeling today, if something comes on that's either not agreeable to some people on a racial basis or on a moral basis or on God knows what, there are sort of power groups that go into action.
Well, that's true, but just like
they have an influence.
Yeah.
That wasn't going on in those days. Now, you know, it might be that if you started with a show like that, it would be quite acceptable today. But it was pretty out of its time at the time we did it. A lot of things were put on there that people weren't seeing then.
Well, that's true. I mean, they discussed abortion openly and things like that on that show.
Abortion.
Yeah, and of course, the thing was that Norman Lear was behind all those shows of controversial tones at the time anyway.
Yeah, that's right. He was the guy that plowed the new field.
Mm. And you're right. Everybody is so politically correct nowadays that a lot of the stuff just wouldn't fly.
I was looking for, yeah.
Yeah. And that kind of aggravates me a little bit. I mean, it's okay to prevent people from being racist on TV or anti-Semitic or whatever, but I mean, to go this PC stuff that's going on now is a little much.
I sometimes feel that, but, you know, the climate changes from time to time, and you go with whatever you're in.
Hmm. Now, we have some funny clips, actually, from that we're playing during the show today from Maud, and one of the episodes we took some clips from was the one where your dog, yours and Rue's dog, Chucky, died.
Oh, yes.
and you tried to placate her with giving her a cheeseburger. It was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. But I mean, there was the show was it was a funny show, but it also made you think a little bit.
Well, we really had. I mean, I'm reminded again of it when I saw it yesterday. The writing was really good. I think we were very favored in the writers that we had over those years.
I think you're right. I think the writing is crucial in any of these series. You know, Adrian was talking about that yesterday. You know, you guys had a great cast, but the writing really was what drove the series.
Well, absolutely. The concept and the writing, and that's always the case, I think.
And I think the same thing in All in the Family. The writing drove that series as well.
Oh, yeah.
Do you watch a lot of TV nowadays?
No.
Everybody tells me.
Not a lot.
What do you like to watch? Any favorite shows?
Gosh, I don't have a favorite at this particular time. I suppose it's going to sort of age me by saying this, but I find the quality of a good deal of what has gone on, what goes on now, is has slipped a lot.
Well, I think that that doesn't age you at all. I think that's a correct statement, Conrad.
And my agent sent me scripts up here to be interested in, and I read them, and I say, boy, I'd like to see the one they turned down for this.
Can I ask you how old you are now, Conrad?
I'm 76.
76, wow.
And counting.
And you still get a lot of scripts in the mail, and people want you to star in their shows and guest star?
Yeah, well, I don't know what you consider a lot, but they come up here from time to time, and my agents send them up by messenger, and they call them and say there's a script coming, they want you to be in and have a look at it. And you know, I said to them, the older I get, the more important quality of life becomes to me, and quality of work is a very important part of quality of life. So I don't want to do stuff that I don't have a respect for.
I think you're absolutely right. You know, we were talking yesterday, and I've been talking for years about this on this show. Not only do I think the music of the 60s and early 70s was better than what's coming out now, but the TV is, and clearly that's the reason why Nickelodeon, Nick at Night, and TV Land and some of these other channels are thriving, because they have quality shows on their networks.
And what a worthwhile thing to bring that stuff back. I mean, just think what would happen if nobody thought of that. Yeah, there was some really great stuff that was just lost to a consuming public.
Absolutely true. And I'm so thrilled that we finally, after years of wrangling here, got TV Land on most of the networks in this area. And they all, of course, had Nick. But, I mean, this is stuff that now the kids, my kids, can watch the shows that I grew up with. And I think it's wonderful that they can see some good quality shows.
I do, too.
Yeah, and Maude.
It's a totally different flavor because I'm looking at Maude yesterday. In a certain sense, it's a period piece now. But it's worth revisiting.
I think it definitely is. It's a great show. And I'm really happy that the TV Land is doing what they're doing this week. They're flooding the flooding prime time from 8 to midnight every night with episodes of Maude. And by the time the week's over, there'll be, 20-something episodes. What is it? Let me see. 20 episodes of Maude. That'll be flying by people. More than that.
That's really cool. Mm. Yeah, I think it is more than that.
Yeah, my math is not very good. Let me see. 4.5 hours. It's 40 episodes of Maude.
Episodes, right.
Yeah. I have to go back to remedial math, Conrad. You know?
What?
I have to go back and take some remedial math.
Oh, I went back for hearing.
Now, Conrad, I got to tell you, when we have posted your name on our internet site that you were going to be a guest on the internet show today and our radio show, and we have got a ton of email, and they all had the same question, and I'm sure you know what it is. You played the father, Philip Drummond, on Different Strokes. All three children on that show, the kids who played them, have had a number of problems, and people want to know if you knew back then that some of these kids were going to have some problems.
Absolutely not. No, but you know what's difficult about this subject? It's very difficult for the public, and I guess there's no way the public at large can understand what kind of a pressure, what kind of a burden it puts on a child to be put in that position. It's really asking a heck of a lot of a kid to come out of that kind of a situation without some negative result from the experience. And it isn't exclusive to Different Strokes at all. There's a long litany of child actors who had difficulty making a transition to adulthood after that experience. But these guys are doing fine. I was always worried about Dana. Looking back, I really don't think Dana ever had a chance. He just started with two strikes against her. But the boys are coming along fine. Pod was up here with his new wife, a relatively new wife, and their baby. They had lunch with us a couple of 3 weeks ago. And he's in great shape. He's got a lovely wife, and he's crazy about the little kid, the cutest kid I ever saw. So he's on the rise. He's done a couple of films, got a project. And I think Gary's got his act together, and he's about to rise. So they're going to do okay.
Yeah, he's on.
We can get Dana back.
Yeah, it's a shame that she's gone. It really is. The boys, though, I'm glad you mentioned that they're doing okay. Todd's been on the show here, and he's a fine fellow, a real nice kid.
He is.
And Gary, I don't know it all, but, I mean, we see the tabloids and all the problems these kids have had, and I'm sure that adds to their problems as well. Did they look at you at all when they were on the show as a father figure?
Oh, yes. That was both a pleasure and a problem, because I couldn't be their father. I mean, I won't identify which one, but there was a point in which I just said to one of them, look, you know, you and I are always going to be friends. And I can tell that you're asking something else of me, but there's no way I can be your father. You've got a father.
They were kind of confusing the character.
Confuses the kids because we're together 8 hours a day for 8 years. I mean, on a 5-day week.
Right.
So, that's only one of the small parts of the difficulty that a child takes on or a child is put upon when they're put into the limelight like this. Any other kid in a normal life can make any kinds of mistakes and nobody but two neighbors know about it. But if you make one slip and you're in the public eye, it's national news, and that's hard as heck for a kid to try to live with that along with everything else. So I'm very sympathetic to it, very sympathetic to the problem, and I would never recommend putting a kid into this.
Really? I mean, you know, yeah, it's funny because I talk to people like a Ron Howard and some of these other folks who've been in business since they were kids, and they think it's a wonderful experience, and they came out of it really well.
Ron did.
Yeah, some people do.
But there are plenty of others that they may have come out of it, but some of them had a very difficult time. I think it depends a lot on the quality of the parenting that they have.
Exactly.
And that's, you know, you can't select your parents.
And that's why when I asked you about the kids on the show, if they looked at you as a father figure, if some kids don't have a father or don't have one that really cares, you know, whether they're in a TV show or whether they're home in school, they're still going to have problems.
Yep.
I think that if you look at the problems in this country of kids shooting and all these things that are going on in the country,
yes.
you take it back to the 50s and 60s when parents were together. One stayed home, there was a disciplinarian in the family, everybody took an interest in the kids. We didn't have those problems back then.
Not so much at all, no. I agree with you what you're saying. I think that's a central part of the difficulty we're in now, and that is that it's the syndrome of the absent parents.
Mm.
And it's very hard for kids.
It is, yeah. So you've been watching all week the marathon?
I've been watching some of it. Yeah,
yeah.
Enjoyed it. Really brings back a lot of memories.
Now, are you recording all of it?
I'm trying to, but I've had trouble with my VCR. It can't seem to record the channel, so I've got to get that solved first.
I'll bet you that at TV Land, if you ask them, they'd probably send you a collection of all of them.
Oh, they probably would.
I'm sure that they're such good people over there.
Yeah, but I'll be able to solve it. I'm sure of that.
Yeah.
Anyway, if I don't, I'm sure B has all of them.
Do you ever talk to B at all?
Hmm?
Did you talk to B at all?
Oh, yeah, we're very close friends.
Yeah.
We see each other quite a lot. She lives quite close to me here.
What about Rue?
I haven't seen Rue for a